Hello, we are here. It's November and we're still doing a rugby league podcast. How are you? As we get ready for State of Origin 1, we get ready for the Cup, we get ready for the election, the US election. The sport just keeps getting better and better. Joel Cain, hello to you.
Oh, hello. Oh, what a time. What a great time, Dan.
Joel, it frightens me. You've been aroused for a week.
Yeah.
Melbourne Cup time gets you excited like no other one. Sean Ormerod, for the last time from the Ormerod house. Well, this is the last time. Can you bring the pillow up with you when you come back to New South Wales?
I'll try and smuggle the pillow up with me, mate. Yeah, it is. We've got the green light off Gladys last week to return next week, but I won't be back in the studio just yet. We're going to go to home isolation for 14 days, would you believe? But it's at least we'll be back in town.
That's very good. I had to get a COVID test to go to Adelaide.
Right.
So, because we're filthy New South Wales people, Joel, but you didn't have to get one. So my area is dirty and yours is
clean.
Apparently clean. How many COVID tests have you had?
I've had exactly...
You've done well. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, I've had none so far, but we've got to get two on when we head back up. Day 2 and day 10, we've got to get the swab done, which I'm not looking forward to. I'm a bit of a girl when it comes to any sort of injections or stuff like that. So we'll see how we go.
Your eyes will water for 2 seconds, Sean, if it's done right, and then that's it. But I've got to get one in Adelaide. What's wrong? I have to get off the plane.
Get one in Adelaide.
Go straight to this place at Adelaide Airport,
right,
and get a rapid-fire test.
Oh, so you get it back immediately?
Well, within an hour. So
you have to hang around for the result.
No, the instruction is, how ridiculous is this? So I could bring COVID with me, but their instruction is, you got to keep your mask on at all times. Fine, you got to go straight to your hotel and don't move until you get a result. Well, how can they? That's fine, but how are they going to be able? Where's the jurisdiction on that? How can they be sure that I'm actually going to behave? So you got that to look forward to, Sean. So maybe he will stay there for a couple of weeks. First weekend without footy, but we have got plenty to talk about. The first question on here is, what was your first weekend like? Well, the first weekend was great, Joel, because we had bloody races.
Yeah.
It's bloody easy when you've got Group 1 races. Okay, now, you probably watch Sky, so it's probably a redundant question, but did you find you watched 7 or 10? 7 had the Golden Eagle. This is a question for the general public. And 10 had the Cup. And I've worked out why the 10 coverage doesn't rate. Do you want my theory?
Yep, love your theory.
So 7 mastered the art of having the sporting element, the races, and then throwing off to the Lavazza 10 or whatever. But it always felt separate to the actual racing portion, right?
Yes.
So when they went to, you know, insert person here doing bad interview. Oh, it is. It's terrible. It's awful television, but it's sponsored. And the reason they do it is because it's sponsored. That's the stuff that pays for the broadcast.
Right.
Having Lexus and Lavazza and BMW, all these people, Meyer, right? That's the stuff that pays for the broadcast. But as I said, 7 mastered the art. When Bruce threw to it, you knew they at the desk, Friedman and Kumani and Marshall and Bruce, they weren't even watching that.
Yeah.
That was like an infomercial for 5 minutes. But the problem with 10 is that the whole thing feels like it's the projectification of racing. And it just feels like a giant ad for C-grade celebrities.
Right.
The whole thing. Right. I don't feel like, even though Peter Moody's on it and he's very good and a couple of others, I don't feel like it's a racing broadcast. I feel like this is a celebrity 5-hour bullshit-a-thon with some races thrown in. No, honestly, I do. And I think that's why 7. I mean, it is ridiculous that the Golden Eagle, a made-up race, right, a made-up race to give 7, to give Victorian Racing the shits, has now, for the second year in a row, outrated Derby Day, what people call the best day of racing in the year. So there you go. That's my television expertise. I've been in television for exactly a year, so I feel like I can push that upon people, why people don't like the 10 coverage.
I just want to congratulate the punters who at the start of the year on this podcast took the unders. We had the line set at the start of the year for under mid-November for bullshit-a-thon to be called out in this particular podcast. So you've just snuck in, but well done to the punters there. You can, by the way, view the races via your Sportsbet app. So that's an easy way.
You know, I was at the club with my dad the other day on the Saturday, and it was Bexley RSL. wonderful club, but the problem is you go outside to have a chuff, they don't have Sky Channel. So I had to get my phone, and put it up on the thing, and we had Sportsbet, Sky Channel, and it was wonderful.
Yep.
And the old blokes there were going, how good does that TV look? And it was like 4 seconds behind. So there you go. See, it'll save you. And I've noticed...
you can get it right now. Well,
and,
there you go.
And I've noticed, that New Zealand races or something.
Yeah.
I've noticed some accounts, some companies have to force you to have money in your account to be able to watch the races, right? You have to have money in your balance. Well, not with Sportsbet, because I put all my bets on early in the day, so I have nothing, you know.
Yeah, you're set to get.
That's exactly right, but I can watch the races on Sportsbet. See, that's the Sportsbet difference. anyway, let's do this. Now, I've already kind of shot Bambi by... well, I'll never get a job at Channel 10, will I? I'm here to give tips. So I've already effectively had mine. I'll have another one. But Sean Ormerod, you can kick us off today.
Yeah, nice, quick and easy one for me. You all would have saw the feel good story of the year with Dennis Pagan training the Derby winner.
Yes,
but a big well done to the stewards there on Saturday who felt it necessary to give his good mate and his mentor in training, Troy Corson's, a fine, $1,000 fine for hugging Dennis when Johnny got angry, crossed the line there and saluted for a Derby win. They somehow managed to piss on the greatest story of the year for racing. So well done to the COVID stewards there and all the ex parking ticket inspectors who are now COVID marshals just for ruining that day there. Well done.
Yeah, very well done. Good. Hey, Cole Miner, for the benefit of the rugby league fans who don't follow the AFL, right, Dennis Pagan coming out in his first 6 months being a trainer, winning the Derby.
That's the part I couldn't get over. He's doing it. He's done it for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It does help that he owns a horse. You can choose a trainer you like. However, look, amazing achievement. Shawnee, Dennis Pagan, as far as a coach is concerned, is the equivalent of who in the rugby league?
Oh, so he was the coach of the 90s, effectively. He coached my team, North Melbourne Kangaroos, all through the 90s, and they were the biggest team. He coached two premierships, so it's probably a little bit before my rugby league time, to be honest, but that's the sort of the vein, and he's held in very, very high esteem.
Tim Sheens?
Someone like that, like a really, really established coach. He coached like 200-odd games or more, actually, two premierships. He was a little bit old school, a little bit of a different thinker, as you probably saw in a few of his comments post-race. But he's like dead set legend of the up there Kazalis down here.
I love that he said this is 10 times better than winning a grand final. Amazing.
Yeah.
But for someone to have their greatest achievement at that event, he'd be in his 70s, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Or he'd be in his late 60s.
Would be, yeah.
I'd love that late though, and yet he's, you know, he's not living in the past. Joel Cain.
Yeah, so you may or may probably haven't seen this, but you'll recall the race between Lee Odenryan and Martin Afire.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Parramatta Stadium.
Odenryan cheated.
Yes. So he's since come out. He's allegedly been accused of cheating. Well, he's since come out in this year on Martin Afire's podcast and conceded to the fact he cheated. Now, what he did was his trainer was the one with the gun. And he said, look, when I hold the gun up, count to X and you go, because he was renowned, Lee Odenryan, for being a poor starter.
Yeah.
So he felt that if he could nail the start, he was a chance of beating Martin Afire. So what he did, they did that, plan worked to perfection. He jumped out about a metre in front, and to his credit, he maintained that margin for basically the bulk of that race.
No, I have issues with the way he maintained that margin. He went outside his lane. If that was a horse race, he would have been DQ'd.
Well, there you go.
He jumped across in front and blocked Afire off.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a disgrace.
Yeah, but to his credit, he's come out and he's conceded defeat and he's taken guilt and he has accepted the fact that he cheated.
28 years later.
That's right. Okay.
Did he get another contract out of it?
I don't know.
Oh, mate, you're defending him. You're defending Lee Odenryan.
I'm not defending him. I'm setting up my Bambi.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got excited.
What I'm sharing with you people at home, right? What's the date today, Dan?
The second of November,
right? This is what I'm calling for, right? I have met so many people late October who have got a little bit of growth, right? And you know why they're doing that? Because they're doing a Lee Odenryan into Movember. If you're one of those people, don't be like Lee. Don't harbour this guilt for all this time. Yeah, you may win your little Movember competition, but you cheated. So if you're one of those people, to a mirror now, get to the bathroom, get the razor out, and give yourself a two-day penalty, because it's just not right, Dan. You'll live with it, and you'll regret it.
Wow.
You mentioned he was angry off air. Yeah. He's been very terse.
What do you think about
very
that?
Very testy.
I never even considered. The only thing I've considered with Movember is that blokes do it. They grow a growth. And I'm not. And it's a wonderful organisation. I'm just growing because it's end of football season. I don't have to shave. So I'm exempt from this conversation. But no, it was the using Movember as an excuse. So people that normally don't grow it, they let it grow a bit. Mm. And then under the guise of, well, it's Movember. So they're sort of, they're using it, they're getting away with a beard, or getting away with a quota, but also sort of tying in a charity which they're not supporting. But
leveraging, Dan.
That leveraging, excellent word. That's why you're on AM radio, with words, with vocabulary like that. I have completely turned around on Halloween. I'm not really supporting it, but here's the thing about Halloween. It is the easiest thing in the world to bag it. Oh, the Americanization of society. Oh, what does Halloween even mean? What are we dressing up? It puts a smile on kids' faces. That's all.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? It puts us... they have fun. They enjoy it. Let them enjoy it. Okay? That's it.
Okay, question then. Question, quick question. I do agree with the fun part of it. I do agree with the dressing up with it. But I think we've come to a time where you don't need to be knocking on strangers' doors. Do you think we need to be doing that?
It's part of Halloween, as long as you got your parents with you.
Do you live on a floor?
No, I'm...
So you don't get any knocks, do you?
No.
No, I don't love that concept. And in the world we're in, I think it's going to one day fall over badly.
You live in what people sometimes refer to as a community. And I thought you were a leader of your community, Joel, and you were sort of the Pied Piper.
No.
But now you're telling the kids to piss off.
No, you know what I will support is... families getting together and knocking on each other's houses, that's fair enough, but...
Oh, God.
You don't need to knock on strangers' things.
Let's all sing songs.
I'm largely in support of both your comments, but I draw the line at if you're an adult, even if you're a parent, you're not dressing up and you're not putting any face paint on.
You're doing it to make your kids happy. I don't even have kids and I'm supporting Halloween.
Let the kids do it and they can have their fun. Don't put a face mask on when you're 40 years old. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you, Coleman.
Well, okay, what is your stance on Christmas party dress-ups, Sean?
I don't really have a stance on Christmas party dress-ups. What are they? What do you put the stupid jumper on?
There'll be a theme. No, there'll be a theme.
Yeah.
God, you've never worked in an office, have you, Sean, outside of Sportsbet? Sometimes there'll be a theme. It's an 80s theme or, basically all the women will come dressed as nurses and...
leverage?
Exactly. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. But, you know, or it might be a country theme or it might be, I don't know, movies theme.
Yeah, I like
Indiana
them.
Jones
they're good
theme.
Fun. Growing up, I didn't love dress-ups, but I've come on board. They are good fun.
And for people with no personalities, it's the great icebreaker. It's great at work functions. You've seen that girl. For 9 months, you've thought, I'd love it. Now you've got some common ground.
Yes, I'm with it.
That's my theory about any time you see a bloke at the races in a bright orange suit, no personality.
Yeah.
That's his icebreaker. I've said that for years.
It's always one of those, isn't it?
Mate, it could be a nothing race meeting on a Saturday at Rose Hill in June.
Yep. And someone's got to own that role, don't they?
Some bloke in a bright pink or orange or yellow suit.
Yeah. Look at me.
All right. I had a genuine one. I had a genuine one. My genuine Bambi. So we lost Sean Connery last night, and some personal issues there with Sean and his beliefs on domestic violence and said things. But I'm leaving that aside. The man was 90, but when he died,
90.
Yeah, 90.
Was he?
But you know, anytime anything negative happens this year, it's 2020 can get in the bin. Oh, this is the worst year ever. Sean Connery was 90. He was going to drop off soon. Like, just because he died this year, it's not doesn't mean 2020. That's not the reason 2020 is the worst year in history. It's a shit shocking year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not everything can be, oh, typical for 2020. 2020 can go away.
So therefore, we're expecting if 2021 is rid of COVID, then nothing should happen, should it, in 21?
Exactly.
That's what you're saying.
That's exactly. There's no such thing as a circle of life.
No.
There's no such thing as, you know, the... Anyway, that's it. We have got a game to talk about. Origin 1. Is it just me, Joel? There's no hype. I'm finding it really hard to find, you know, the amount of publicity. It's getting plenty of space in the paper. You watch the 6 o'clock news and there's the feature stories that you would see in June and July for Origin. I don't know. Maybe it's just I get the sense we're a little fatigued and this is not going to quite be as big as a June-July series.
Yeah, I feel that way too. But I think what we've got to do as a game is not measure the success or lack of success, if that is to be the case, of post-rugby league season State of Origin, because it's not really. This is so late. See, some of these players have been training for 12 months.
Yes.
They've been up for 12 months. So if you do it post the regular season, it's going to be a lot earlier. So I wouldn't be measuring it just on this. But you know what? Once we get past Melbourne Cup, people will be a bit tired and emotional, some people, come Wednesday, and they'll look for nothing more than watching State of Origin, and it will be big.
Mm. Oh, it'll be big, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. It's going to be, you're saying it's, you know, don't measure it, the fact that it's what, post. It's going to be, I don't think it is going to be measured against the June-July series, and I don't think it'll rate anywhere near as well, because a lot of people, I think, even if the same amount of eyeballs are on the series, right, a lot of people, it is November, the weather's nice, they're going to be out and about. Remember, we were deprived, nothing like, you know, Sean's world, but we were deprived of communal events. So the idea of going out to the pub, going out to the club and watching Origin, having a food, that's going to be appealing to a lot of people.
Yes.
Daylight savings as well. So I do fear this will be our one and only Origin series for all of those factors.
I haven't given this great consideration, but what do you think about this, right? And it could be an easy quick no. Could you have 2 games during the year, and then following the grand final, have a decider, if there was to be a decider. Could you do that?
That's a quick no for me.
What needs to be in consecutive?
Yep. It's got it. I think it has to be, yeah.
I agree.
Like, it's just missing. It's missing something at this time. I was really looking forward to it. It just meant that the footy season went for that little bit longer. But it is missing a bit of hype. And maybe with game one being in Adelaide, might have something to do with that as well. There might not be the buzz around town, even though I'm out of the bubble. Whatever you want to call it, but it is missing something. I think you're right.
You've got to have momentum, Joel. That's going to be interesting about the 3-week thing. It is the 3-week, basically 3 games in 2 weeks, really, Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday. Is that going to build its momentum?
Could do, yeah.
Because I got a feeling it's going to go to a decider. Is it going to build its momentum, or are we going to be fatigued? I don't think so.
I think
we're
right.
People of routine. I think actually will, but it does need to go to a decider.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that third game, late November. Ooh.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that if you get going and it's not a blowout in the first game, because if it's a blowout in the first game, that'll
tough
sort of
still
dampen it. But if it's a real good game first up, we're in. We're away. We've got 2 weeks to go.
Yeah. All right. Let's have a look at the odds, and you will see that the odds are heavily stacked in favour of New South Wales. That's no surprise. In fact, I think, Sean, that has just tweaked out a bit. On our screen there, $1.37 New South Wales, $3.10 the Maroons. Oh, the money's actually pretty split.
Mm. Yeah, the Maroons were $3.25, I think, a few days ago, and they firmed up ever so slightly, but seeing a lot of support. Not every day you see a Queensland team that price. I don't think people are scared to back them. Interesting that I think they firmed up when Pappenhausen was ruled out and there was still some doubt over Teddy, but he's been declared fit and will play. So I'm surprised that it hasn't moved back out and even further. I think this might keep moving the way of the New South Wales side.
Okay, that's a very interesting line. Again, the sports bet gutless line of -8.0. Come on, Sean, make a call. 7.5 or 8.5, but 8.0. So, and that to me, Joel, is a very good line. That's a very good line.
Yep, I'm keen on Queensland. The reason I'm keen on Queensland, Dan, is that in the final series, we saw the results go. And as I mentioned earlier, we've had players who have been training for 12 months. So the results in the finals largely went to the teams who were better rested. Mm. Queensland are the better rested team. So look, I think the likes of Daly Cherry-Evans come in fresh, Alexander Brimson come in fresh, and I'm expecting, and I hope this goes this way for the sake of the series, I'm expecting Queensland to go very, very close to winning this. And I was thinking to myself,
This series or this first game?
This first game.
Yeah,
I'm tipping the Blues to win the series because they're just such a winning culture. However, I think down in Adelaide, well-rested team, Mal and Bennett coming back. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, how do you play this? Is 1-12 the bet? Because it's hard to see them really flogging New South Wales. Or maybe the try bet's the go. Maybe that gives you a little shallow victory to New South Wales as well.
I like the try bet.
Yeah, I think I'll probably go that way, knowing that I've got sort of 6 points up my sleeve for Queensland.
The weather in Adelaide, Sean, I'm just checking here. It is, okay, this has changed. So Adelaide today, what's today? Monday, 28 degrees. Tuesday, 32 degrees. Wednesday, 18 and 40% chance of rain. Well, now that would change everything. It would stuff my lineup, my over too, because I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of points in this game. But that's a fascinating weather forecast. That has changed in the last couple of days. But that's Joel's thoughts there. Queensland, maybe. Where are you thinking here? Shauna?
Yeah, no, I'm going the other way. I can't remember such a disparity between two teams here at Origin level. Like this Queensland team, it's as bad as I've ever seen it. And there's a few questionable selections as well, which I can't really get my head around. When I line them up next to each other, the only sort of advantage that Queensland have got anywhere is probably Papali, who's, you know, best forward in the world at the moment. But, you know, New South Wales, they're not slackers either. So I just can't see where Queensland are going to get points from, to be honest. And New South Wales have got points all over the park. That Queensland right edge of Brenko Lee, and they're going to be in for an absolute nightmare all night. He's chosen Jake Friend. I'm, you know, happy for Jake Friend that he's finally got his start. He's been low down the pecking order in that Queensland nine position for a long time, and he gets his start. But it should have been Harry Grant if they were to have any chance of winning this game. And I expect the line to keep moving towards New South Wales play, and it might hit double figures. That's the way I'm leaning.
I had a feeling it was going to be Ben Hunt to be hooker, Joel, and then Harry Grant off the bench. Oh, I've got to say I'm glad for Jake Friend because he was denied a couple of times because of injury. Just got injuries at the worst times.
Yeah.
This is post Cam Smith. But I've got to admit Ben Hunt has been fantastic in that hooking role for Queensland.
Yeah,
I know
absolutely.
He's going to chip in off the bench and probably do that, but I thought he might have gone for a bit more flair.
Yeah, they've gone for the same benches with Hunt and Cody Walker. You've got that half back up there. They've got one front rower each and two back rowers. But let me just go through this New South Wales side really briefly. So Tedesco, it's not being reported that he's super fit, is he?
No, he had a battle injury to get here.
He's carrying a niggly. How did you find Tupou's last game? Is he flying for form?
I don't remember. He's had a good year.
He had a very poor game in
did
his
he?
Last
I can't,
game.
I can't remember.
Gutho's playing out of position.
Yes.
You could argue that Jack Whiten's playing out of position, but he's not a question mark.
You're
he's
talking
fine.
Yourself into this.
No,
you're
doing no, that. But Luke Keary is...
Do you watch those racing shows, sorry, or whatever, and you've already done your tips, and you're watching Ron Duffercy and all of them, to you're just hoping he tips what you've tipped so you can feel better about your tip. That's what I do.
Or some tips is you're hoping that they tip yours.
Oh!
Yeah.
Come on, name it.
Good morning to you.
No.
Look, Luke Keary.
I'm going to write a name
Luke,
down.
Luke Keary
tell me
is,
if that's true.
Luke Keary is so deserved of being there, but I don't think his stocks are at their highest ever premium. Nathan Cleary's coming off a game that he would love to forget. So, you know what? I'm Boyd Cordner has had a difficult year. He's not at his absolute best. This is not a gimme putt for New South Wales. I disagree with the Coleman.
I'm going to write down a name.
Right.
This is when I see this person's tips, I think. Okay, and
oh, no, I didn't think about him.
No, okay, very good. Okay, so you're giving Queensland a red-hot chance. I am agnostic to the game in that you make some excellent points and Sean makes some excellent points, but that weather forecast has stuffed me because I'm convinced it's going to be high scoring.
Right.
So Adelaide's a fast deck, right? Usually
it's a cricket field.
It's a cricket field, right? And it's usually warm, right? It's not going to be warm on Wednesday. Maybe it will. Maybe the weather will hold off. And we are in November. We are with two teams that have not been together for long. So defensively, there could be some holes.
Mm.
And we have seen what is the theme of the last month of football been.
Oh, that's right.
Lots of points. So, and I think you've got the best attacking players in the game on show here. So I can see this being a 30-22 type game if the weather holds off. And the line, the over-under last I saw was 41.5. That to me seems low. Even for Origin, that seems low.
I will share this. The last two games, which you could argue had some kind of Origin about it, is Sydney Roosters versus Melbourne. It was 14-12. And it was 9-8 night games at Adelaide over the last two.
9-8 had bucketed down.
Yeah, low base, okay, low base, but two low scoring affairs.
Yeah, there was a 25-24 in Adelaide as well.
Yeah, but I conveniently left that out.
Dan, I know you did.
My stats. That's why whenever you hear stats, it says 8 of the last 9 happened here. Guarantee the 10th one went the other way.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Can you stop giving away all our tricks? We're going to talk about the Cup. We've got our same game multi for this game and, the election. We're going to talk about that as well. Simon Marshall coming up next.
Oh, poetry in motion. The best place to catch an Origin same game multi is Sportsbet. It's never been easier to find more markets, more offers, and bigger odds. If it's a same game multi, it's Sportsbet.
All right, welcome back. And don't forget, we're on next week and the week after as well. Not so much racing, more Origin 2 and 3, but lots of.
Ooh.
Hello.
Oh,
hang on, while the phone's ringing.
Hello, broadcast.
I always wanted to
hear. Hello, broadcast.
How good's that?
Yes. Yes. Number 4 scratched. Thank you.
I love it's so true, isn't it?
It's so compelling, though.
Yeah,
it is so compelling.
Yeah.
It's the worst television yet. It is.
Great.
Simon Marshall, legendary well, would you call Simon Marshall legendary jockey? Yes, he would.
17-time Group 1 winner. Absolutely.
Hi, boys. Lovely to be on the program.
17 group ones.
Absolutely.
That
16 children. The 17th might have been off track.
I actually knew it was 16. I just wanted to see how you played it. And you played it quite honestly, unlike Leon Ryan many years ago against Martin Afire.
What's your favourite win? So we're going to talk the Melbourne Cup and your tips. And you're very, very good on. You've been very good on 7 for years, and now on the race. Are we allowed to pump up the racing.com
channel?
Yeah,
of course we are.
We're okay.
Yeah, of course.
He's very good on that get on show. I've watched it the last few times with the flamboyant Jason Richardson and a couple of the other ones.
Yeah, he's
very,
a star.
Very entertaining. You know, they make it entertaining.
Yep.
They actually make it entertaining. It's not a boring. You know, fest.
Yep.
Like this show. They had to edit. What was the favourite, Simon, of your Group 1 wins?
Bart Cummings always says the first of everything's always memorable and the best. And I suppose it was for me as a 16-year-old, 8 months into my riding career on Derby Day, winning the what is the Cantala now, the big Group 1 at Group 1 level. At 16 years of age, with the old better cut footloose hairdo and the Topex problem, I thought it was pretty good that day.
16.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah, went and bought a brand new car, didn't you, Simon?
Yeah, went and bought a Honda Prelude. Paid just under, what did I pay, $17,990 cash for it. So I was going okay at the time for the L plates.
How good's that?
Mum was driving the old Commodore around. It was clipping up the K's. And the old man said every time you get a sling sung, put it in a jam jar, collect the jam jars and bury it in the garden because if the house burns down, you'll save the cash. And when you're ready, go and buy a car so your mother can ease up on the Commodore there. And it was a Honda Prelude. It had the pop-up lights. It had the gold rims. and it had the sunroof, and I was looking pretty good until I wiped it out on the Monash Freeway 3 months
Oh, no.
I tell you what, we need to get Simon on for a proper
chat. Absolutely.
Well, halfway through the year, during COVID, we did all these feature chats. We need to get Simon on because we can tell there's an hour there.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. Right, let's talk Cup, gents. And everyone's got their system. Joel, you've put your system out there on the net and have been defending it vigorously. We'll get to Sean's in a moment. But Simon, what are the key indicators when looking at a cup field of sort of eliminating horses and paring it down to a select few?
You want horses that are in good form, obviously, and have been proven over a 2,400-metre staying trip and beyond. Then you've got to sort of match up the weights because we're talking about handicaps and you're talking about top weights here, Anthony Van Dyck at 58.5, and then you get down to the likes of the Tiger Moss that are in the market at the 52.5, and you've got 51 kilos with horses like Per Sand that are roughies. And you got to, it's a melting pot. You've got to sort of combine all those together. But then I don't like to overcomplicate it too much. Mm. I like horses that are in form at this time of the year. I like horses that are going to get a good run. And horses that are peaking for the race.
I'm on Anthony Van Dyck at $61, Simon, so I'm happy enough with that. However,
that's against your system.
Yeah, because I put it on months ago.
Yeah,
but anyway, where I land is, and I want you to either come with me or talk me out of it. 2 years ago, Prince of Arran runs third. Last year, it runs second, beaten a bees, you know what. It had to back up from the Saturday. And Jamie Cargo's on board, barrier one. Is there any reason at all why I should be potting Prince of Arran, SD?
No, not at all. He draws the paint, draws one, shortest way home's the fence. Jamie Carr will be coming home with bird poo on her left foot, hugging that rail. He'll get a beautiful run on speed. He's probably going better than he was the 2 years prior, him running into it, Shug. So I wouldn't talk you out of it. He definitely goes into my first fours and multiples. Hard to squeeze them all in, though.
All right. Where are you going to watch the race tomorrow, Simon?
I'll be out at headquarters at Flemington, bringing you all the latest and greatest fluctuations on behalf of the
Beautiful. Lovely. And give us those top three again. You like Surprise 13. Baby, yes?
Yep. 13 on top, Surprise Baby. Anthony Van Dyck in. Got a whack in number 7, very elegant.
Yes.
And I want to throw in 15 Russian Camelot and also 21 Tiger Moth. I think they've got so much upside, those young horses. It's an intriguing race. It goes deep outside of that. So good luck, everybody.
All right.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Good on you, Simon.
Beautiful. Thanks, SD.
I've got to give – he does a wonderful job for Sportsbet, Simon Marshall. Can I just so he gave multiple numbers there, and for years that would be too much, too rich for our blood. I've got to say, I've got to congratulate our competitors who many years ago went to the percentage system.
Yeah.
And obviously everyone's followed suit. That's changed everything.
Yep.
And that's the beauty on Sportsbet. On Saturday, I got Best Tote for Exotics.
Yeah.
I jagged a Quinella. It paid $9.60 in New South Wales. It paid $14. I've looked in my account. It's $14 a unit.
Thank you, linesman. Thank you, Sportsbet.
I know once I start, Joel, he's not going to stop. So
no, I'll be quick.
Turn the cold shower on in the green room for Shug to jump in after that. He'll need one.
Is this the tipster you don't listen to?
Yeah,
I knew it. I knew it was that person.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I've what's the opposite? I've cooled.
Yeah, you got to be tepid.
A bit tepid. All right, Sean, how do you that was, I was thinking about that for half an hour. Who's the tipster you don't respect? I'll tell you who I do respect, Lizzie Jelfs. And when she gives me a tip that is what I've backed, oh, geez, do I feel good.
To answer that, you haven't revealed the name, but I like specialists. I like people who just know their patch and they zero in. They don't try and be everything to everyone. Anyway, Cole Miner, over to you.
My system's very, very straightforward. Leave it to the experts. There's a couple of lads on the trading floor that are very, very good in their respective states. So whatever they generally put up, I'm happy, more than happy to have some of my own on.
Okay. So with that in mind, what are they telling you, Shauno?
Yeah, it was probably no surprise that SD had Surprise Baby on top. That's what I've heard from the floor as well. $9. It's obviously a Melbourne Cup and a massive field, so it's obviously going to be a big price. But they've got that one on top, and there's a few other sort of pro punters, I suppose you call them, on the socials that I tend to follow that are really spruiking up surprise babies chances as well. So $9, you can't really go wrong, can you?
I suppose it's with any race, but particularly it becomes the fashionable tip. Like surprise baby, I noticed on late Saturday was becoming the very fashionable tip.
Yeah.
All right, Joel, give us very brief summation of how you've come to your decisions.
Okay, well, I came up with this probably 10 years ago. Now, here are the three that I land on. By the way, Very Elegant is not in my system because it just cops a half a kilo penalty, but it's not to say I'm on or going to run top placing. Prince of Arran, I've got on top. Are we going through my system here, Shana, or are we just... Okay, really quickly, this is how we land. I'm not going to bore you to death, but here's how I do it.
Now, it's worth watching. He does come up with more winners than losers.
Yeah, well, the last 22 years, 19 winners have fit this criteria, okay? So 19 of the last 22, including last year's Quinella, Prince of Arran, and Vow and Declare. So here is the Sugar Files, if you like. 19 of the last 22, as I say. Here's the rules. The rules are had a run in Australia prior to the Cup. Its first Melbourne Cup or within 3 lengths of winning the Cup last appearance. Either won or got within 2 lengths of its last handicap race. So we're not talking about Cox Plate. And if carrying 55 kilos, which Very Elegant was, copped the half a kilo penalty, it must be proven at 3,000 metres, which Anthony Van Dyke does not qualify.
But it does look like a horse that's crying out.
Possibly. That's right. And there's 3 exceptions which you saw there. Viewed, who beat Bauer, who did qualify, and that was beaten by the closest of margins, well called by Greg Miles. Rekindling, same thing with Johannes Vermeer. And then in 2018, which Cross Counter won, Prince of Arran, Finch and Rostropovich finished 3rd, 4th and 5th, who all qualified. So I've got no reason to jump off it. Prince of Arran is the one for me. I find it ironic that in 2015, Michelle Payne, lady jockey, won with a prince.
Yes.
Prince of Penzance, five years later, the best jockey in Victoria at the moment, Jamie Carr. She wins with another prince, being Prince of Arran. 3rd 2 years ago, 2nd last year. I think she goes one better, or Jamie Carr goes one better with the great horse being Prince of Arran.
And those for your multis there, the Miami Bound, and what were the other ones?
I should read them out Miami, for those who are listening to the podcast. Yeah, so we've got Prince of Arran, Russian Camelot, Ashrun, who qualified via the Lexus, who's a big chance, Persan, then you've got King of Lear Grants, Steel Prince, Miami Bound. There are 7 of the 24 who qualify, but take my advice and please yourself.
Well, the last 4 of those 7 would be at huge odds.
Yeah.
And we know with the Melbourne Cup, the favourites never run 1, 2, 3.
No,
there's
right.
always something which just bumps up the market. Tiger Moth is the favourite now. This is Monday morning, $7.50.
So fifth start, I can't have it. I just at the price, Dan. It's a Melbourne Cup. Fifth ever start, please. Like there was all the talk around the Derby favourite, name alluding at the moment. It was like
Young Werther.
Young Werther.
The same, yeah.
Yeah,
same
third, situation. Third ever start. Exact identical situation.
Yeah. Mine very quickly. This is a race I've actually done well at. Not that you should listen to my tips, but I have a similar system to you, Joel. But I make exceptions. When a horse like Anthony Van Dyke is such an eye-catching performance in the Caulfield Cup. Perfect. It didn't win, but it was perhaps the run of the race. Mm. Prince of Arran. You know Prince of Arran's going to be there, and Surprise Baby as well. I'll be having a Quinella there, boxing those up, and the same with the trifecta, and first four I'll be adding a few of the others as well. But that would be the way I go about it. I find it, okay, easier to do Melbourne Cups in the last 3 or 4 years than in previous years, i.e. Sean, I think there's more horses these days you can just get rid of straight away.
Mm.
Whereas I remember Cups 8, 9, 10 years ago, you could make a case for 18 of them to run in the top 3.
Mm.
Have I got that wrong? Because it just seems like half the field, you can almost wipe out pretty confidently right now.
Yeah, and Shawnee, the other thing is that, and whether it's this year or next or very, very soon, Chris Waller, who just wins everything, he does get a Melbourne Cup at some point, doesn't he?
Yeah, you'd think so. It's only a matter of time before he does. But you're right, the last few years it's always been about the internationals, which we don't really have that problem this year. So, it goes very, very deep. It wouldn't shock you at all to see a very big price winner here.
Okay. All right, so good luck. And 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Queensland. That's when the race is on. So, yeah, 3 o'clock. They've stuck with that, haven't they? I would have thought. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I would have thought by now it would have been 5:30 or something. But that is brilliant. So we
have you worked out your you worked out the ad breaks for the radio show, Shug? How are you going to play it so you can So you can watch the races.
You can't take news at three.
I won't be talking, I can tell you that much. I don't care if it's just dead air for 3 minutes. I'm watching the Melbourne Cup.
Just credit whoever you take it from. Channel 10, fine coverage.
Yep.
Same game multi for State of Origin. Same game multi. What have you come up with?
I've gone with the same formula that nailed the grand final same game multi, 20-1. So I'm going to go Queensland 1-12. Yes. Brimson to score, Jack Whiten to score, $36.25.
Wow. Okay. I think we might have a very similar same game multi.
Yeah, really?
I can't wait. The thing I'm looking forward to most about Wednesday is AJ Brimson on that stage.
Yep.
I think he could be electric.
Yep.
Electric.
You could also do the same game multi with Queensland plus +8. I couldn't talk you out of that either.
Yes. So I think we're doing mine here. Okay. And there you go. See, Brimson and Whiten, but I've gone the over. Rain worries me. Geez, that's a good price, $12.25. I always think if you think it's a high-scoring game, that's when to do the same game multis because then the any times will load up. Have you got one, Sean?
I do, mate. Yeah, 13-plus New South Wales for me. And I'm going to be all about the Blues left edge. Anyone that wants the same game multi, just stack that side. I think it's going to be all the traffic down that way. So Cordner and Whiten down the edge to both score as well. $9, that's nice.
Well, we all need Jack Whiten to score, all right? Jack Whiten has to score. Is Branko Lee on him?
He'll score, mate. He'll score.
Now, you laughed at me when I talked about Kurt Capel last week, and look at he's been mooted as being coming into the team.
I know. I couldn't start him in front of Branko.
I've got to say, Bennett has, it's masterful what he has done in just, hang on, Xavier Coates is injured. Philip Sammy's been devastated because he's been... I don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You don't have to name a team until an hour before kickoff.
That's right.
So he's taken the media off his scent. So he's played that game right. And you know something? I would love to see the State of Origin doco, okay? I'm on Bennett's side.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on Bennett's side. As much as I would love to see it, are the players getting paid for it, by the way? Is Bennett getting paid? Like, that's got to be sorted. You can't just say, well, here you go. We're going to have camera crews now turn up and take every move.
Mm.
That's Bennett's IP, what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So that's got to be negotiated in advance. I would say do it next year. Do it, work it out. Pay Bennett. You know Wayne likes money. And pay him, pay people appropriately, and then we can plan it properly. Do it for next year's series, right? The big one Wednesday after. What a day Wednesday! What a day! So the counting stops at about midday. The Eastern States in America at 8 PM their time. I think 8 PM or 10 PM. Either way, about midday is when things start. Getting interesting with the US election, and I would say about 2 o'clock, 2:30 is when it really starts heating up, and we're going to get our real first indications. Now, Sean, you said last week the money tumbling in for Trump, is it continuing to come for the Orange Man?
Nothing has changed. It's all about the Orange Man. 90% of the money is on the Don, and it's been pretty steady. Like, it's always been around that ratio for the whole time. And it wouldn't surprise me if it even actually it goes up in the last couple of days. But I think old Dirty Joe Biden might be a bit of value. It's $1.50, and I don't like to generally tip sort of odds on pops, but I think Trump's only that price because it's Trump and everyone just wants to be on him, which is probably flooring that price. I think anyone else, it's probably around the $5 mark, something like that. So I think the old Dirty Joe might be a bit of value.
Dirty Joe.
I think the fact that Trump did this 4 years ago, and people are wary and people think, it's the same thing happening all over again. Here's the thing that worries me in terms of Trump, if that's value. 91 million people have already voted, right? That is an astonishing amount. Some states, like Texas, more people have already voted now than what they did for the entire 2016 election, including same day, which the indications are that favours Democrats. If you like Trump, he's, what was it, about $2.50? But the last election, he won a lot of states he shouldn't have won, but wasn't meant to win. It was won by the barest of margins, and he got to 306 electoral college votes. So, Joel, the game is there's 538 electoral college votes. Popular vote doesn't matter. every state is broken down and given proportional amount of votes. So yep. California's the biggest, New York's up there, Florida, Illinois. So there's 538 available votes across the 50 states.
So for the layman like me,
yes.
if California won as a state,
yes.
unlike what we have here with our areas, right?
Yes, California's worth 55 votes.
That's right. Okay.
And it's first part, it's not proportional,
no.
it's not 29, 26.
Yep.
You get the most votes in that state,
yes.
you win that state. Now, Biden, the Democrats always win California, they always win New York, and they always win Illinois.
That Which always, gets you to how many?
That gets you to 55 for California.
Gets you a long way there.
Illinois is 20, New York is 29.
Right. Okay. Best part of 100.
Best part of 100. Anyway, I'm bored.
Are you still there, Cole Monner?
Here's the thing. Here's the just, thing. Here's
sorry,
the thing.
What have I missed?
Last election, Trump got 306.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a phenomenal result. 270s the win, 306. He's not going to get 306. He's just looking to get past 270. All right. He's not going to win Michigan. He's not going to win Wisconsin. One of those he's going to lose. Therefore, if he's going to win, he's going to win just $7. That's the bet. That, if you think Trump's going to, I'm not saying I think Trump's going to win because I don't think he is. But don't take the 270.
No, no.
Take the $7 for the and that's Trump Electoral College vote, I think, is the name of the bet.
For those listeners who are still with us.
Oh, piss off. We had the sugar files. You had your own graphics made up
enough.
And everything.
We might have lost them then. Basically, what he's doing for rugby league parlance, he's taking the Trumpster 1-12. That's what you're doing, aren't you? If he wins, he falls in. That's what you're saying, Dan.
He falls in. I think it'll be about 210 to 239. I think Biden's going to win this one. I think Biden's going to win.
Trump 1-12.
That's it. Have you got a best bet for the election?
Yeah. Dirty Joe, $1.50. Get in your multis. He's a moral.
Sean, how long have you been doing this podcast? We don't accept odds on pops for best bets.
No, you do it when it should be $1.20.
Okay. Here's the bet, Joel. If I win that bet, that $7 bet, I want to be part of the next politics, the Hildebrand and Dastiari and Workman podcast.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to take his tip. Know. I'm going to go Dirty Joe Biden to be the king into the Prince of Arran, just to get a little extra price there. There you go.
Prince of Arran, I'd be very happy if Prince of Arran did it. Anyway, enjoy your day.
Yes, gamble responsibly, folks. Well done, Cole Monner.
See you guys. See you soon.
See you up here in a couple of weeks. Goodbye. Ready.
My fellow punters, you can now bet on the U.S. election with Sportsbet. A lot of people have been telling me there's this thing called Trump Hub, which is a tremendous name, by the way, where you can find many, many markets all in the one place. Frankly, it's unbelievable, except for one thing. You can also bet on Joe Biden to win. Fake news, folks. Believe me. Bet on the U.S. election with Sportsbet.